Unfortunately, I had most of this already prepared, so I just had to grab a couple of scriptures really quick and then plaster them on here. So we're pretty much ready to go. I do like to go over my sermons. I was planning on doing that later on today. And then Gary walked in and casually sat down. I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong. So we started scrolling through my text messages. I'm like, nope, it's me this morning. So, but here I am. And here's my sermon, and it's called Light and Life. You know, I find these two things in scripture, they go together quite frequently. When it talks about light, it often talks about life. And it talks about how they are, you know, intertwined, really. And that darkness is death. And there's, you know, you can't see in the dark, you can't work in the dark. But light and life, they go hand in hand. And so, when life begins, there is light. Now, I don't know if I can see if this will play or not. There it is. All right. It played. All right. So this is an egg, and this is at the moment of fertilization. There is this flash of light, which is pretty cool when you think about it. And so right when that egg gets fertilized, there's a light that happens. It's a small light. Now, scientifically, it is, I think it's a reaction with calcium and zinc, if I remember my studies right. I was going to look that up again today, so don't quote me on that. But there's this chemical reaction that takes place. And there's this, when that chemical reaction takes place, there's this flash of light. And so when we were all conceived, we began with a spark of light. And so that happens when there's life, there's light. And we begin in light. The very moment that we enter into this world, it's begun with light. And so that's what I want to talk about. You look in John in the first chapter. And first chapter in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here, right away, we have this distinction that John's talking about. Very back in the beginning, you know, God spoke the world into being, and the first thing he did is he separated things out. He separated light from the dark, and he made this distinction. And he saw the light, and the light was good. The light was life. In the beginning of all things, light was life. God spoke, and light came into being. And light was good, and life was good. And those two things, once again, those two things are correlated together. These two things come in, light and life. And here it is, Genesis, in the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So again, right at the beginning, light enters in, and life begins. The beginning of all of our creation started. The beginning of all life started with light. And God's light shone on the earth, and life became. He spoke, and life was. You know, we are people that are designed to work in light. This is a little picture of the eye. It's a just a little cross-section, a very simplistic one, but it kind of gets the point across, right? You know, our eyes can work in day and night. We can see at night, you know, but it is not equal. When we look in the daytime, we can see, you know, 20, 30 miles if the conditions allow that. If your eyes are good, you know, you can see fine details at a far distance. And we are designed this way. You know, when you look in the human eye, it's made up of things called rods and cones. And the rods are in a grayscale, and they're made for seeing at night. And the cones are that three color that give us all the color that we can see. So we can see the rainbows. We can see these blue seats out here. And I can see everyone's dresses and ties and the floral patterns. I can see all that because of the cones. And the cones differentiate those colors. And I'm able to see, you know, in great detail and great color all throughout the daytime. You know, and those cones are all right in the center of my eye. Those rods are actually scattered out. There's some in the center of your eye, but not very many. If you look at the human eye, there's a bundle of cones in the middle that give us the ability to see in the daytime. And on the exterior, there's these rods, which give us our night vision, if you will. But when we see in the dark, you know, actually it's kind of interesting. You do this thing when you're in the academy, and at nighttime you can go out and you can cover up your eyes, or you can go into a dark room and cover up your eyes, and there's a chemical that enters into your eye. And it aids in your night vision. But it only aids in those rods. The cones don't really do anything. And because of that, at night, if you ever look at something directly, like you take an object and you look at something in the center of your vision, if you stare at it for about 5 or 10 seconds, it will disappear because you can't see it. It's really, really odd. And so that's one of the things I taught us in academy is you don't stare at something in the middle of the night because it'll disappear on you and you can't see it anymore. So you have to look kind of left and you have to look kind of right. You have to like pan your vision back and forth because those rods are on the outside, right? And so things can literally disappear on us in the dark. And it's really hard to see in the dark. You know, we're designed to work in light. You know, you look at animals, and animals have a special filter on their eyes. That's why you take a photo of an animal at night, or you shine a light out in the night, and you can see all the glowing eyes, because they got a special membrane in there that collects that light at nighttime. So animals can see much better at night often than they can in the daytime. That's why there's a lot of nocturnal animals. They fly around or crawl around at night because they can see better than they can in the daytime. Plus, it's hot in the daytime and all sorts of reasons, but they operate in the night because they're designed to operate in the night. You know, we are not designed that way. We are designed to work in light. We're designed to work when we can see things. And I can see color, and I can see distance. I can see all these things in the light, but I can't in the night. Here's some pictures I took in the daytime. My family and I were enjoying the light there. My son is, he's not enjoying the light so much. He's kind of squinting his eye there. And I got my sunglasses on because that bright light is very bright. I was on the road to Hana, I think. We're all enjoying some snow cones and some banana bread there. And, you know, we are creatures of the day because we can see. There's another one picture there. I took that picture as it was at the upper right there as I'm looking at it. You know, I was on a hunt and I was hiking off the rim. And I took a moment to snap that photo. You know, I can still, even though the light's dim, I can still see miles off in the distance. I can still see. You know, but then I got done at the end of that hike, it was dark. And I could barely see across, you know, the trail there that I was hiking. When I got down to this little parking lot, I could barely see across the parking lot that I got to. I was walking down the road, you know, going back to my camp, I could barely see anything. You know, barely see the trees on the edge of the road. You know, vast differences, you know, the light. The light shines, and we're able to operate. We're able to see. And there's another one of my wife and I are in the daytime. You know, at nighttime, if you took that same photo, you wouldn't be able to see that waterfall in the background. You would just see a massive gray bush. You know, it might be kind of scary. And at nighttime, things can get scary. You know, it's kind of funny because the daytime and the nighttime, there's nothing different. You know, the same things are still there. You just can't see them. And when you can't see, you get lost. And you get scared because you can't perceive what's out there. You're hearing noise. And you don't know what it is. You hear something scurry by in the night, and your mind starts to race because you're trying to fill in blanks, and you become lost, and you become scared because you don't know what's out there. You know, in fact, you know, if you shine a light on something at night, and you're like, oh, it's just a deer running by, you know, or it's just a raccoon or something, you know, it's nothing that's scary. But you don't know that when you can't see it because you're lost, and you're denied your vision. But in the daytime, you know, we can enjoy. You can see the snow cones full of color. You know, it's pleasing to the eye. And we are made to operate in light. We're made to work in the light. Our whole existence, you know, we sleep most of the nighttime usually. And we're designed to shut down and occupy that time with sleep, you know. 8-10 hours a day, we just shut it off at night. If you're a normal human being, there's those of us that work late. There's people that work late. You know, I find that criminals often, they work late because they can't be seen. Their activities are covered. They're not seen by the good people. They're not seen what they're doing. They're trying to conceal what their activities and their motives, because they don't want people to know. And they operate all night long, and then the day comes and they scroll back into their homes. But not us. We're made to operate in the light. Here's some pictures I took in the dark, right? And I had to take these pictures because, well, I didn't take the bone of the owl, but you know, these pictures I took, and I couldn't have taken them if there wasn't some kind of light source, right? It had been completely dark. I wouldn't be able to see anything. And there's my family and I, again, we're enjoying either New Year's or a 4th of July or something there. We're all setting off fireworks, you know? I can take that picture because there's light. I'm able to actually see, and I can see all my family there because that one firework that's going off, it's illuminating the entire area. And I can see. We can snap photos. We can all enjoy this light. And we bring light to the darkness. That's what our job is to bring light, you know, so we can see things. You know, this other picture here, that was a full moon. Again, back on an island vacation that my wife and I took. And I couldn't have taken that picture if there was no moon. It would have looked vastly different. We might have been seeing those little lights on the shoreline there from houses and businesses and stuff. But if that moon wasn't there, you wouldn't have been able to see that entire bay and all those mountains and those clouds. You know, it almost looks like a daytime picture, but because there was this light source. And we operate in light. There's that animal there. I was talking about that earlier. You know, that owl, he operates at night because he's made for it, right? Look at those eyeballs. They're huge. You know, they're designed to gather light. Those eyes on the birds are bigger than ours even though they're a much smaller creature. But they're designed and they're made to operate in the dark. We are not. You know, we have to have some kind of light. You know, there's light and there's dark in this world. The darkness, men often, you know, mankind seeks out darkness. You know, they want to hide. They don't want to be seen. They don't want their actions put on display. So they hide in darkness. They conceal things, evil intentions. You know, right now over this last week, there's been a war raging over, a new war. It took place in, well, not a new war, a reignited war over in Israel. You know, and that they were caught off guard. They had tons of surveillance and electronic surveillance and countermeasures. And it was all working, but then those evil men figured out a way around. Figured out how to bypass it. And in darkness, they prepared. And in darkness, they worked. And in a moment when they were not expecting it, you know, they sprung this horrible, horrible incident. It sparked off this terrible war, which is taking place now. And they did all that in darkness. But now their intentions are in the light. You know, because they've made themselves known. So we are designed and made to operate in the light. It's what is expected of us. It's what we were created for. To be the bringers of light. Even when there's darkness in this world. You know that little firework right there? I started with just a tiny little strike of a lighter. You know, a light no bigger than this right here. And if I lit that up here, turned off all the lights, everyone here would be able to see it, wouldn't they? And I was able to touch that off to the fuse, and that fuse ignited and it burned. And you look at that photo there, and it's scattering light. All the way across the street, you can see Mrs. Rainey's wall over there. You know, it's illuminated because it started from a little touch of light. Second Nephi in the 9th chapter. To the law and to the testimony. And if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. And look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and be troubled, and darkness, dimness of anguish, and shall be driven into darkness. You know, it's kind of a lot of fancy words there, but when you look around today at our landscape, how many people are just angry? They're hungry for something. They look around, and they can see sin, and they can see despair, and they can see corruption. And what do? And they scream and they cry out, you know, because they don't have this light. They don't have this higher standard, which to refer to. They think that men can solve their problems, and they're looking and they're hungry and they're screaming and they're crying out and they're protesting. You know, I'm not against protesting. I'm not against any of those things. But when you don't have the light of Christ in you, when you don't have the light of God illuminating your way, you're going to be hungry. And no matter what you do, no matter how loud you cry, no matter how far you go, how hard you press, you're going to be hungry. And you can't find it. There's nothing will satiate it. Nothing in this world is going to satisfy. And you can cry out and scream and yell at those that are in power, and it's not going to help you find peace. Because you're looking in the darkness. And you can't see what the outcome's going to be. You can't find what you're looking for. You just hear these noises. And you curse kings, and you curse gods. You're looking around everywhere, looking to the earth, looking up, and you can't find it because you're walking in darkness. And there's nothing to illuminate. And we weren't made to operate in darkness. We're made to operate in the light. Our life began with light. The world began with light. I think that's important to remember. Because there's so many people in here, they're driven further and further away. Dimness, troubles, hunger, they're searching. They don't have light within them. You know, our job is not to hide from sinners. These people who are looking, these people who are seeking, these people who are angry at the injustice that they see, at the sin in the world. You know, it's so easy to look out and see and call out and be angry. And look at all the wrong that's in the world. Heard an argument the other day. It's like, you know, if God was such a good God, why is there so much hunger? Why is there so much poverty? And you can look at it and you can see there's so much hunger and so much poverty and so much evil in the world. It's all there. And they're looking at it, staring at it. They're trying to claim that God is not true. Well, when I look at this world, is there enough wealth for everyone to have some? Is there enough food for everybody to have some? I don't think we've even reached the potential that this world can produce in food and wealth. And so if there are those without, whose fault is it? You know, it's not God's fault. He gave us everything. More than we need. Everything we need, we have in front of us. And if someone doesn't have it, is it God's fault? I think not. But those that are selfish, those that are self-centered, those that are corrupt, the sinners of this world, those that take and take and take, no, they have a choice. We all have a choice. And it's not God's fault that there's hunger. It's not God's fault there's poverty. Because men come in and men take more than they need. And men deny others what they need. Now, it's our responsibility to feed the hungry. It's our responsibility to clothe the naked. It's our responsibility to hold up a light in this world of darkness. If you go to Matthew, in the 5th chapter, 14 to 16, this is Christ speaking. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, that's our job. This world is full of darkness, and yet we've been given light and life. And so we have to just hold up that little match, that little kid is all he asks. Because it pierces through the darkness. It chases away all the things that aggravate and cause hunger and famine. Just holding up your light, giving a little bit of good to those that are around you. Being that light. Now, they may not accept it. And that's not what he's asking us here. Make them accept it. He's saying, no, hold it up. Let everyone see that I am good. What I have given is good. That my word is good. That my promises are good. And it's light. And it's life. And we have this duty. We can't hide from sinners. We can't hide from people that want to disagree, that want to tear us down. You know, that's not our job. Our job is not to hide. We come in here and you hear the word of God. You know, our job is not just to come here once a week and that's our duty fulfilled. Our job is to go out. Take what we've learned. Take what we've received. Take the messages and the scriptures and the ideas and to go implement them for people to see. And we have a hope within us. And there's a lot of hopelessness outside these doors. That's our job. Just hold up the light. Let people see that God is good. And He is just. And He is pure. Now, these are the people we need to spread it to the most. Those who are lost. They're in the dark. They can't see what these noises are. They can't perceive what's behind the next turn. Because they can't see. All the sin in the world. It's consuming. And yet we have an answer. Good works that shine. God has done so much good for us, and He expects us to go out and do good for others. Let this light shine. Shine your light in the darkness. You know, what we do absolutely matters. What we do and say matters. We have to perform on some levels. We have to display what we ask. God has asked of us to do these things. And it's to let light shine. Because darkness cannot comprehend it. So it matters deeply what we do. Because people watch. People watch us. And if we stumble, we fall, they're going to be watching. If we do things that are outside the law of God, they're going to know. And there's a scripture that says the law is written on man's hearts. And everybody kind of knows good from evil on a basic level. They're going to know if you've done good. They're going to know if you've done evil. And if you've proclaimed the light of Christ in your life, they're going to be watching. They're going to be holding you accountable. And it's our job to continue. And here's why. You look in Alma in the 19th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Now, this is Alma. He's talking to his son Corianton. And his son Corianton was, they were in earlier chapters, they had a really hard time converting a group of people. You know, they didn't have a lot of success. And the reason being is because Corianton was supposed to be an elder. He was supposed to be going around talking and building up and sharing his light, and yet he was doing things that were opposite. He was participating in acts of darkness. And so people were looking at him like, well, you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. And so Alma, as he writes this letter to his son, he begins, "And now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. For behold, ye have not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God. Behold, has he not set a good example for thee? For thou didst not give so much heed unto my words as did thy brother among the people of the Zoramites. Now this is what I have against thee. Thou didst go on unto boasting in thy strength and thy wisdom. And this is not all, my son. Thou didst do that which is grievous unto me, for thou didst forsake the ministry, and did go over into the land of Sihon, among the borders of the Lamanites, after the harlot Isabel. Yea, she did steal away the hearts of many. But this was no excuse for thee, my son. Thou shouldest have tended to the ministry wherein thou wast entrusted. Know ye not, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord? Yea, most abominable above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood, or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if you deny the Holy Ghost when it once hath had place in you, and you know that you deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. And yea, Whosoever murdereth against the light and knowledge of God, it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. I say unto you, my son, that it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. And now, my son, I would to God that you had not been so guilty of so great a crime. Oh, that's verse 10. But you can see, we can murder the light. We can extinguish light. We can snuff out the life that we have, the hope that we have. It's possible to walk away, you know, but it's dangerous. We walk away from the light after having had it. You know, it tells us it's an unpardonable sin. If you've had Christ and accepted him and been baptized and then turned away, now your soul is in grave, grave danger because you walked away from the light. You know, it's really unfortunate. So what do we do? You know, what we do matters. How we treat one another matters. What we say to one another matters. Are we saying what's true? Are we saying what's honest? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If it doesn't fit all those things, should we be saying it? Can I look to my scriptures and prove in my scriptures that what someone may have done or said is outside the bounds of the law? If I can't, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying these things. We need to be careful that we don't use our spirit of truth as a weapon for those that are around us, to point out flaws, to jab people. You're doing it wrong. What I'm saying is true, and I'm using my sword in the wrong way. Our sword is not to poke people and point out flaws of those brothers and sisters that may not be as strong. But it's to stand before them in truth and to fight the evil that they're fighting, not to use it against those that we love and cherish, not to use it against sinners even. No, it's our job to stand against the sin. It's our job to hold up the light against those who are in darkness, to show them the way, to lift up, to bring beside us, to bring them into the fold. That's our job, to hold up the light. We're made to work in light. We're made to work in life. And this is our great commission, is to go out and let our light shine before men. I thank you for your time.